You know, one of the things that East Bend we've been saying is we want to follow Jesus together. You know, we individually follow Jesus, but then we come together in partnership. And, you know, like what Rich has been saying and different things, we can work together and do great things in the name of Jesus. And so I think that all starts with abiding in his love, abiding with Jesus, and not just trying to do things for Jesus. And so today, as we kind of look at the next piece of this, last week we looked at John 15 and this part about abiding. And so I want to just encourage you to open your Bibles also to John 15, and we're just going to look at the next few verses here as we look at this idea. What does it look like to follow Jesus together? And so in John 15, just a few verses here. Verse 12 says, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you." And I'm just going to pause there and let's just think about this, you know, in the context of this chapter where Jesus is talking about abiding in him, abiding in his love, remaining in his love, being faithful in Christ, right? And so he's, in this verse, it's just kind of a simple thing. Simple to maybe read, simple to think about. But he says his command is to love each other as I've loved you. Susie shared with the kids about that this morning. I mean, we were all listening. But about loving each other. And the way that we love each other shows a lot about Jesus to the world. The way that we love projects a lot of what we actually believe what's on the inside. And so when we abide in Jesus, we experience his love. We experience that love of Jesus. And before we can love like Jesus, we have to let ourselves be loved by Jesus. And the command from Jesus is that we love each other like I've loved you. And so how is it that Jesus has loved you? How is Jesus loving you? And are we experiencing that? Are we catching that? Are we embracing that? Are we receiving his love? And so if we're going to love like Jesus, we need to fully receive his love. To fully get his love. And then once we receive his love, then and only then we're going to be able to love like Jesus. As Jesus has said, his command is that we love each other. Now, I need a volunteer. Does anybody want to volunteer? I have some my own kids that would volunteer. They don't know what they're volunteering for. All right, Issa, I'm picking somebody other than my kids. All right. Okay, Issa, here you go. Come up here. All right, Issa, let's pretend, one more step down. All right, let's pretend that you were on a team. We are on a team, right? But on a football team. And on the football team, you know, one of the things that people do is some of the plays, if you watch a football game, there's the ball that's going to go in the air. And so, throw it to me. Okay? So the ball goes in the air by the one player, usually it's the quarterback. And then the ball is hopefully caught by somebody on the same team, hopefully. Hopefully it's the person that the quarterback's intending it to go to. Usually it's a wide receiver or a tight end or a running back. It's an offensive player, okay? All right, but just because the quarterback throws the ball doesn't mean it's going to be caught, right? From here to there, the person should be able to catch it, right? But sometimes what happens is I get so excited. The person that's going to receive the ball gets so excited. Like, I'm wide open. I'm going to score a touchdown. I'm going to get so many yards. I'm going to do so great. All I have to do is catch the ball and go. And so they catch the ball except they don't. Because they're so thinking about all the, they're so focused on all the other things that they're going to do after they have the ball, right? And so when you're going to catch the ball and then go, but if you don't catch the ball, then all that is for nothing. Because now it's an incomplete pass. And in the game of football, the play is over. There's nothing else that you can, oh, I can just pick it up after one bounce. No, there's none of that, right? And so we have to keep our eyes. If I want to catch this ball, I can't be like looking down the field and just like kind of hoping that I can catch the ball this way. I mean, I might be able to catch it without looking at it, but that's pretty hard. So catching the ball, I have to be, first of all, even if I'm open and I'm running, I have to be looking at who's throwing it. I have to be looking. And then, not just looking, because I could be looking and then, you know, just doing whatever with my hands. I have to be ready. And the way you catch a football is you kind of form a triangle with your hands. And that way it's ready so that you could, when it comes, you squeeze it. Okay, so throw it like that. And you squeeze it like that. And then you have it. You caught the ball, right? And then when you catch the ball, you know, just because, actually, I'll just say it like this. Just because you start the catch doesn't mean you complete the catch. Now, I know if you've been watching some football games recently, even last night, there was I just watched the highlights last night, but there was a game where the Chargers, the guy was intercepting the ball, and it looked like he got it. He's all the way to the ground. He's in the end zone. He came up. He started running it back the other way, but when they saw the replay, the ball actually, when he was coming to the ground, the ball actually hit the ground before he really had control. And so what we have to do, if we're going to catch the ball, is catch it and then complete the catch and protect it. Protect that ball. All right? Thank you, Isa, for your help today. That was really, really, really good. So now I want to just relate that. Okay, so that's the game of football. You might be wondering, like, why are we talking about football so long on a Sunday morning, right? But football, I think this has a lot to do with receiving the love of Jesus. Because we can often know about receiving the love of Jesus, but we don't keep our eyes on our quarterback. We don't keep our eyes on the thrower. We don't keep our eyes on him who's sending us his love. We don't keep our eyes, and so often we drop it. We drop the ball. We don't catch the ball. Or we don't catch his love. That's where we're going with this. We don't receive his love. Or maybe we are keeping our eyes on Jesus. We are keeping our eyes, and we're seeing him throw. We're seeing him send his love. And so we are trying to catch the ball, but what if we aren't really, we're trying to receive his love, but we're so focused on everything else that is in front of us, everything else that we could do with Jesus' love, that we kind of forget about the ball and we don't complete the catch. We don't let the catch come all, we don't receive his love. We just kind of like see it a little bit, receive it a little bit, but then we don't finish it. And we try to do our own thing. But then there's also, you know, sometimes there's just going to be a pass. We're going to try to receive his love. And what happens is we miss it. And we miss it, and maybe not even miss it, but the other team catches it instead of us. Now, that breaks down a little bit because Jesus loves everybody, right? There's no like he's trying to throw it just to you or just the not the other team. But Jesus, he wants you to catch his love. He wants you to receive his love. He wants you to not just hold on to it. He wants you to protect it, to embrace it. And with his love, you can do great things. Without his love, we're on our own. And so I think that's super important. And when we're thinking about loving each other like Jesus has loved us, we have to fully receive his love. We have to fully embrace it. We have to fully protect his love. We have to focus on that quarterback, on Jesus. Now, what's interesting about Jesus is when he came to the earth, it says in John 1:11 that he came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet all who did receive Jesus, to those who believe in his name, Jesus gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor human decision, nor husband's will, but born of God. Jesus came to those he made. He came to us. And the world in general, we rejected Jesus. But some of us chose to receive him, to receive his love. And because we receive his love and we hang on to it, we protect it, we are walking in his love. We are living in his love. And we are loving like Jesus, not because we're just so good, but because we have hung on to the ball. We've hung on to Jesus' love. We've received his love. We've embraced it. And we then love with all our heart. So that's verse 12 here. And that's maybe easy to think about, harder to do. But I want to keep reminding us to keep our eye on the one that's sending, keep our eye on Jesus. Keep being ready to receive his love. That means on a regular basis, spending time in God's word. That means on a regular basis, being open to what God has for you. It's an intentional thing that we do. If we want to receive and embrace the love of Jesus, before we're going to love others, we need to embrace it. Be filled up with Jesus' love. And Jesus said this in the next verse of John 15, verse 13. He says, "Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." So Jesus then talks about what does it mean to love? And the greatest possible love is a love that's selfless. A love that thinks fully of the other person, that thinks how to be a blessing, how to be kind, how to think of those person's needs instead of our own. And loving like Jesus looks like freely giving your life. We freely give our life in this kind of way. We lay down our life for our friends. We lay down our life because what we realize is it's more important, what they are more important than us. We have this attitude of selflessness. It's the opposite of selfishness, right? Often we like to think about ourselves so much and what we need and what we want. But when we have selflessness, we think about the other and what they need and what they want and what would be a blessing to them instead of to us. You know, in these California wildfires that's happened in the last about 10 days, or 7 to 10 days, these fires, there's all kinds of stories that have been coming out about how people have been selfless. Of course, there's also selfish people. But there's some neat stories about people that have been selfless, that people that are looking out for their neighbors, that are wanting to find out, make sure their neighbors are safe, to make sure their neighbors are getting out of the house that may be burning down. And we have that, I mean, in our first responders and our firefighters, but other people too, they're just being selfless. And so this is a love like Jesus, a love that freely gives your life for the sake of the others. And Jesus said this several times to his disciples. He said, if you want to save your life, then you're going to lose it. But if you want to lose your life for me, then you will save it. And that can be a little confusing. Like, what does that all mean? But if our goal is just ourselves, live a life to do what we want, that's going to be best for us, what's going to happen is for all eternity, we're going to be lost. But if our goal is to do what Jesus said, to embrace his love, to receive his love, and then to live selflessly with the love of Jesus. I mean, selflessly doesn't happen on our own, right? That's only going to happen because we are so full of Jesus' love. And when we are so full of Jesus' love, we can live that selfless life. But it's not for my glory or your glory. It's for the glory of Jesus. And so we can bring other people to know Jesus because of that. And so by laying down our life, then we actually are saving life. So this is important. And I know sometimes we talk about, oh, we really sacrifice a lot. Yesterday there was an opportunity to have some cake and with ice cream. And one of our elders, we were having an elders retreat, and one of our elders said, man, I'm really sacrificing today, in referring to getting this cake and ice cream. Really sacrificing. I don't want to say who it was. I'll try not to look at him. But really sacrificing, and it was said kind of in tongue-in-cheek, really sacrificing today to have to get this cake and ice cream for being part of the elders retreat. I really appreciate all of our elders and the time that they put together praying and casting vision for this church. I really appreciate all of how they come together, but I do think it's funny that they're just, sometimes we say things like, yeah, I'm really sacrificing. That's not sacrifice. That's not sacrifice to have cake and ice cream. And so greater love has no one than this, is to lay down your life for one's friends and eat cake and ice cream. No, doesn't say that. All right, then the next verse here in verse 14, John 15, verse 14, he says, you are my friends if you do what I command. Now it kind of ties back to the verse 12 here, right? Verse 12 is my command is this, that you love one another as I've loved you. And so you're my friends if you do what I say. You're with me. You show people who I am. You represent me if you obey what I say. You know, in a prayer that I've said before that I think is really important for us is to always kind of have that mindset. Whatever Jesus wants, help me to obey that. And so a prayer that on a regular basis that we can be praying is, Jesus, help me to obey whatever you say. Jesus, help me to obey whatever you say. And how do we know what Jesus is saying? How do we know what Jesus has said? Well, the good thing is, I've had this thing called the printing press, and also the digital Bibles, of course. But we have his word. We've had his word preserved for thousands of years. And we have access to reading what he says, what he said. And we get to know the heart of God through reading his word. And so how do we know how to obey his word? It starts with receiving. You know, that fully receiving his love, freely giving your life and letting Jesus show you his word, being faithful to obey his teaching, faithfully obeying what Jesus said, reading his word, spending time with his word, meditating on his word, and I might even say memorize his word. What that does is it shows that we really care about what he says. We really care about his words. And of course, his word, reading his word, is not the only way to know what he said. We have access to Jesus through prayer. And he speaks to us. And he gives us his Holy Spirit to live and dwell with us. And again, then we can abide in him and have that communion and fellowship with the triune God. And so we can faithfully obey his teachings. And I'm going to say, first of all, is it easy to always obey? No, only one person was honest. Only one person. Is it? But, I mean, maybe for a few of you, it might be easy. But it gets easier over time. But right away, I mean, as kids, right? As kids, it's not as easy to obey. But then as in teenage years, there's more choices of ways that we can disobey his teaching. And then in a young adult life and throughout life, there's all kinds of opportunities to go our own direction, to do what we want, to disregard what God says, and live how we want. But if we're going to love like Jesus, we faithfully obey his teaching. And so that means we value his teaching. We value his word. We do what it says. You know, this week there was the funeral for President Jimmy Carter. And I was so blessed to hear so much of God's word being read, and I'll even say preached, during that sermon, or during that funeral. Because Jimmy Carter was a man that loved God, that loved God with all his heart. And not just God, he loved Jesus. He let the Holy Spirit live in him and let the Holy Spirit show him what's next. I mean, he was a faithful man who was teaching Sunday school classes well into his 90s. He was a faithful man that was going overseas and teaching people all kinds of ways, all kinds of good things. He was going, he was promoting peace, overseeing elections from countries. I remember when he came to Nicaragua. Actually, I think they wouldn't let him come to Nicaragua for that election, but he came to promote peace, to help people. He was he worked with Habitat for Humanity. He was someone that got his hands dirty, right? Like going to MDS, doing these construction projects. We're showing people the love of Jesus one nail at a time. And that's in more ways than one, right? And Jesus teaches. He taught him through this. He teaches us through life. We don't just embrace his love and then the game's over. We don't just receive his love and that's it. Unless he calls you home right then. We embrace his love. We receive his love. We freely give our life. We live selflessly. And we faithfully obey his teaching. But that takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of time. That takes a lot of effort. And that means that we're going to have to sacrifice. But all that's only going to happen, we're going to love like Jesus if we are being filled with Jesus, if we're being full of Jesus. And so loving like Jesus happens when you're full of Jesus' love. It just starts happening because you're so full of Jesus' love. When you're so full of something, it starts to overflow. And so by being so full of Jesus' love, we're going to start living sacrificially. We're going to give our life. We're going to be living faithfully in obeying his teaching. We're going to value what he says. We're going to live boldly for Jesus when we are full of Jesus' love. You know, and you might ask, well, how can we really love like Jesus? How do we, like, that's not, is it possible? Well, in the Old Testament, Moses told the people of Israel. He said, and he wanted them to say this every day. And that, in fact, they said this prayer that's called the Shema in Deuteronomy 6. They said it multiple times every day. And in verse 4, he says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord, our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, and with all your soul and with all of your strength. These commands I give you today are to be on your hearts. Jesus talked about these verses too in the New Testament. When asked about what is the greatest commandment, Jesus said, the most important one, and he said this, is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind and strength. And he added, and the second is this, to love your neighbor as yourself. There's no commandment greater than these, is what Jesus said in Mark 12. And so, if we're going to keep the commands of Jesus, we're only going to do this by loving God with all our hearts, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength. Now, notice in the Old Testament, in the version there, it didn't say anything about mind. Because this idea that what they were saying, what Moses was saying was, love the Lord your God in a way that's like with all of your inner being. You know, and so we translate that heart. With everything in your heart, love the Lord with everything. And then he said, and love the Lord with all of your soul. Like, you know, that everything that is your life, your whole life. And then a third thing he said was, love the Lord your God with all your, and really we don't have a good word of translating this into English, but it's this idea of exceedingly, right? With everything, right? And so it's translated with all of your strength. Jesus uses it as with all of your mind and all of your strength. It's just love with everything inside, love with your life, and then if there's anything left, love with that too. Moses wants us to love God with everything because he knows God. Jesus did this perfectly. He loved the Lord with all his heart. He fully received his love. And maybe when he was feeling a little bit low, he went, got away from other people and he was filled with Jesus' love. He fully received the love of the Father. And he fully loved the Lord, his God, the Father, with all of his soul. He gave his life. He sacrificed everything by laying down his life, just like he said here in this verse. So he freely gave his life, and then he faithfully obeyed everything. He faithfully obeyed the teaching of the Father. Now, and then he didn't just then tell people about it. He put it into words that people could understand. Sometimes in the Old Testament, it's a little harder to understand everything, but Jesus then took all of that, especially since there was people then that were misunderstanding and giving wrong ways of thinking about the Scripture, and Jesus gave it in ways that it's easier to understand. Not easier to obey, but easier to understand. And so Jesus was faithfully obeying the teaching of the Father. He was loving the Father with everything, with his mind, his strength. And he went to the cross when he didn't have to. But he surrendered his will to the will of the Father. And out of love for the Father and obedience to him, and out of love for us, he died. Taking our place on that cross when we all deserved to die, Jesus did it for us. But he did it for all that would believe. And when Jesus died on the cross and then he rose from the dead 3 days later, then we have this chance to be right with God. And for all that choose to put their faith and trust in Jesus, we'll have eternal life. We'll have a life that's abundant. We'll have a life that's loving like Jesus. It doesn't happen overnight that we're going to love like Jesus, but there's one step at a time in fully receiving his love, to fully, you know, freely giving your life away, doing acts of service, being kind with the love of Jesus, and then faithfully obeying what Jesus said. You know, I just want to ask you just for a few moments to spend some time right now thinking about how much God loves you. In the quietness of your heart, spend some time just to meditate on who God is, his character, and that he comes to you with arms open, wide, ready for you to fully receive his love. He loves you. He doesn't want you just to know that. He wants you to experience it. He sent his son Jesus for you, and Jesus paid that price. And he wants you to be with him. He did that so he could be with, that we could be with him. So let's receive his love right now. And I just want to encourage you just for a few moments just to think about and let the love of Jesus come into you. Ask the Lord to help you with his love, in his love, to specifically think about one person that needs the love of Jesus. So Lord, I pray for these people that you have brought to mind in our hearts, in our minds. God, I pray that if you haven't given us a person to think about by name, that Lord, today that you would show us who that person is, that we can receive your love and to pass it on to them, to give our life, and to faithfully obey what you say. And so, Lord, I pray for just a confidence to show your love to others. And Lord, as we do this as a practice, a daily practice of receiving your love, God, I just pray that we would just be overwhelmed by how much you love us and how good you are. That's what we get excited about. That's what we talk about. That's what we want more and more of. And when those things happen, God, we just pray that we would be used by you, that we would show your love, that we would live like you, loving like you. So Lord, we pray that we would be following you together. We pray that we would be people that when we have disagreements, that we would bring them to you, that we'd bring them to each other in love, and that we'd work them out. And God, I pray for this congregation this year to be so filled with your love that we would just be overflowing, and so many people would want to know and experience this love that you give. And Lord, I just pray also for those that maybe haven't accepted your love yet, haven't accepted your sacrifice. So God, I just pray that you would give just a clarity to anyone that hasn't accepted, that they would see and experience and know how wonderful you are, and just understand the message of the gospel, the message that you love us so much that you took our place and rescued us from sin and death. And so Lord, I just pray that we would embrace that. Anyone that hasn't embraced that they would choose you. Choose to accept your forgiveness. And Lord, just lift up anyone that's hurting, anyone that's in a hard time right now, anyone that's maybe struggling even to know that if you are really who you say you are, if you are really good, if you really love. And so, Lord, we just pray specifically for those that may be struggling in that way. God, that you would just show them how wonderful you are. And God, help us to surround those that need your love and to love like you. In Jesus' name, amen.